Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
So like Pastor Donnie said, we're going to be continuing our Upside Down Kingdom series. And I really, really enjoyed what Pastor Donnie preached the last time he was here. If you weren't here, it was a message about unity. It was a message about unity in this country and how we need to be able to come together and how Jesus is the only answer for that. Jesus is the only answer for unity. Jesus is the only answer for unity in amongst racial lines, amongst all different kind of lines. But I really wanted to focus tonight on unity in the church and unity amongst Christians, which I know probably some of you guys are like, well, there's plenty of unity. Why do you need to focus on that? Like, we're all good, right? Right? Nobody has any complaints about unity in the church or, you know, Christians arguing amongst each other, right? That's what most people think, that we're all good, that we're all perfect, and we all have it together. I'm guessing because you're so quiet that you realize that that's absolutely the opposite, that there is, unfortunately, tons of division. There's tons of people that, even as believers, choose not to be together in unity. And so tonight is going to be kind of a how to get along with other Christians message. It may seem very elementary. There's going to be no Greek words. So if you really like those, I apologize in advance. I don't have any for you. It's going to be pretty simple because the concept is pretty simple. It really is. It's really simple to be able to stay in unity with each other as long as we follow the principles that are outlined in the Word of God. So if you have a Bible, we're going to be in Romans chapter 14, and I'm going to start in verse 12 and read through 18. It says, I'm going to read from the NIV version. It says, "So then, each of us will give an account to God of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for giving us the ability to look at your word. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be able to speak your word to these people. I pray that even if I'm not the most clear, God, that you be able to clear it up, that your Holy Spirit be able to speak directly to every single heart tonight, that your word is piercing, that it's alive, that it's active, it's sharper than any sword, and it goes right to the heart of every single issue, God. We pray for every single person that's been affected by any kind of natural disaster recently, God. We just lift them up to you right now. For anybody that has been, or God, even the news and the things that we're seeing on the news right now, God, we just lift them up to you, God. We know that you're a miracle-working God. We know that you're a God that is still for us no matter what it looks like. We know that you have all power in your hands and that you are able to make all grace abound to anybody that is in those positions, God. And so we just say, we speak life to all of those people. We speak life to all of those situations, and we lift them up before you tonight. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you were here on Sunday, Pastor George said that he declared this. He said, "Strife is dead in the United States," which is a awesome thing. It's a really strong statement. And a lot of people can look at that and go, really? Because I don't necessarily see that. Or you may look at it and go like, well, we're good for now because, you know, something bad has happened and people came together for a little bit, but, you know, it's going to go back to the way that it is. But that's not the way that we believe here. We believe that if a word is spoken like that, if the word of God is spoken, that strife is dead, then we're going to stand and we're going to believe on that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it is. And the good thing is that we are the vessels that God uses in order to do what he wants to do in this world. And so, because of that, it is up to who in order to make that statement come to pass? Us. A couple people got it. It's up to us. It's up to us. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to go and look at some of those things. Now, in this passage in Romans 14, Paul does a couple of things. He first describes what the kingdom of God is not. And then he says, here's what it is. Pretty simple, very easy. The first thing is that the kingdom of God is not about judging the rules and regulations for other people. It's not. It's not about a bunch of rules. I mean, as we think of kingdom, and kingdom has things to do and has ordinances and has all those, and that's he says it's not that. It's not about food and drink. And if you look at some other translations, it says that the regulations or the rules regarding food and drink, but it is of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 just so we can see that clearly. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I'm convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. Which is a huge, huge statement. Nothing is unclean in and of itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean. Now, this is speaking to those of us, and if you don't think you are, then you're a little bit blind. But those of us who may be a little bit more judgmental toward the actions of other people. Because this really is all of us, in some sense or another. You may say, well, I'm not a judgmental person, but I know, if you're honest with yourself, you've looked at somebody else and you've seen the actions that someone else has taken and you've gone, well, that's not what I would do, or that's not what they should have done. And it's like, oh, okay, do you have 100% of the information to be able to make that judgment? Do you know everything that's going on to be able to do that? And so what Paul is doing here is he's correcting those of us who may be more judgmental, who may be more pointing the finger at other people. And he says, a huge statement, nothing is unclean in itself. Like that offends me. I don't know if it offends you, but like, I'm like, wait, nothing is unclean in of itself. It does. But he says, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus. And I think he says that because Jesus says it pretty clearly. This is Mark 7, verse 15. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who are asking specifically about something like this, and he says, nothing outside of a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. And so that's why he's fully persuaded. He's just able to look at what Jesus actually said, that there's nothing that you can put in, being, you know, food or whatever else that can do it. It's what comes out. It's the outcome. It's the heart of the matter. And there's one way that I think says it really succinctly, that the kingdom of God is not about external things. It's not about the things on the outside, but it's really about eternal things. It's about those things, righteousness, about peace, about joy, because the root of whatever external thing is showing is the real issue, right? External things are just something that's coming out because there's actually a root issue that's much deeper. And so if instead of looking at the flowers on the plant and looking at the flowers and seeing the petals are the problem, maybe we should look at the root. Maybe we should try to figure out what the root of the problem is and be able to figure it out from there. But the only way that we can do that with other people, we can't just pull out weeds from other people. It's not as easy as that. The only way that we can do that is through loving other people. I want to be able to say that, and I want that to be 100% clear. That's the only way to do it. There's not a different way other than by loving that person. There's not. And I can hear people right now saying, like, well, what if they're sinning? What if it's a Christian that is sinning or is doing something wrong? And if you go to Matthew 18, I'll give you the reference. It's 18, 15 through 18. Jesus has some pretty practical instructions for how to do that. He says, go to them one-on-one. He says, go to them. If they still don't hear you, go with another person. And if they still don't, take the church. I'll let you read that on your own. But it's always in love. That's the only way that we can do that. And I'm just going to say it. The way that you prepare and the way that you walk away from that conversation will say a lot about whether you were doing it in love or whether you were doing it judgmentally. That kind of a conversation has to be soaked in love, has to be soaked in prayer, has to be soaked in actually caring about the well-being of the other person and not just saying, like, I want to fix whatever their issue is because it doesn't line up with the way that I see it. And it's certainly not gossiping or talking bad about that other person or about that issue. That will reveal pretty quickly that where you are is not a place of love. So if you're looking at it and you're seeing, okay, maybe I've been talking a little bit too much about that person. Or if after you have the conversation, you are not still praying about and praying for them in the same way that you did before, then you have to instead judge your own motives, examine your own self, and look at, like, did I really do that in love? Did I do that in love? Did I reach out to that person in love? Or was I simply trying to fix something to try to make them into the image that I think is best? Do I think that they should look, and the dirty secret is, do I think they should look more like me and the way that I walk out my own Christianity? Because I'm talking to Christians, and that's what Paul is saying. He's saying all of this that he's writing is talking to Christians about how to deal with other Christians. And so I really, unfortunately, think a lot of the times that's all that we're trying to do. And that's where we have to be able to look at ourselves and see, am I receiving the love from God that I need in order to be able to actually pour it out to other people and be able to do that from a place of love rather than judgment or rather than condemnation. The second thing is verses 15 and 16, the kingdom of God is not exercising that freedom irresponsibly. So he first talks to somebody that may be more judgmental or the side of us that may be more judgmental. And the second thing he does is say, if your brother or sister, this is verse 15, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Now he is using eating specific foods that were not kosher. Literally, that's what they're talking about. He's talking about food that were not acceptable by Jewish standards to eat. And so this is one example. Again, I'm not going to like go down and list every single issue that is one in the body of Christ where we disagree on. I'll just let you insert whatever issue you think and whatever issue you argue about or other people argue about right there in the place of do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. And if you're the person who is doing something that, you know, somebody could look at and say, well, maybe you should be doing that differently, or maybe you should not be doing that. You have to look at yourself, examine yourself, and say, am I doing something that would cause my brother or my sister to stumble? He goes very, very clearly in, it's 1 Corinthians 8, and he talks about, well, if you by eating or drinking causes someone else to eat or drink and they think that it's sin, whose fault is it? It's yours. It's the person that did whatever that action is. And so we're not controlled by other people. We're not controlled by what other people think or what other people say about us. But as much as we have the opportunity, we need to be able to keep peace. And he says, again, he says it, do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Like, you have to love other people. You have to be in a place where you are willing to love other people and say, like, man, if me doing that is causing that person to be hurt or causing that person to be offended by me, as long as it's something that I can control and something that I'm worth, that I believe is worth giving up, like, why not give it up? Why not give it up? Because if you're in a place of love and if you're walking out of love, that's what you want to do too. And one of the biggest reasons that we should do that is because other people are watching us. And I say other people, the world is watching us. People that are outside that are not Christians are watching us as Christians fight and bicker about things that honestly do not matter. Like, that do not matter more than being united in Christ. I think the biggest example of this, if you've been on any kind of social media for the past week and a half, has been all the stuff that has gone out toward Lakewood and toward specifically Joel Osteen. Like, if you've seen any of that, a lot of it has been non-Christians and non-believers that have been, you know, throwing rocks at him and saying things without, first of all, without knowing, and just retweeting somebody else, basically, or just regurgitating something that you heard somebody else say to you, which is just never a good idea. You always set yourself up. And if you don't know, I don't know how else to say it, but don't say anything about it. Like, don't do that. And if it's people outside, I get that. Right? It's people that are not Christians. Okay, they don't like the way that Christians reacted to it, and they think that Christians should react in one way. But what really just hurt me was a lot of it was from other Christians and other people that say they're Christians, and yet their response is, I'm going to talk bad about that person. I'm going to talk bad about that church because they're not doing what I think they should be doing, even though, again, I still don't have the info about it. I still don't know about it. And so they're looking at the actions of another person and judging whether they did or whether they didn't. And guess what's happening? All of the people that are outside, all the people that are non-Christians are looking at that and going like, man, well, if they can't get along, if they're not even, they don't even love each other, like, why in the world would I want to be a part of that? Why would I want to be part of a family that's bickering? And why would I want to be a part of a family that doesn't even like to agree or doesn't like to do? Why would I do that? And what it is what Paul says is it's a stumbling block. And if you've heard that term is genuinely and generally used for the gospel, used for what Jesus came to do in the world and why he did it in the world. That should be the only stumbling block for anybody outside of the church should be the fact that Jesus came into this world to die in order to bring us into a kingdom that we were not a part of, that we had let go, that because of what we had done, we had separated ourselves, but he came so that we would be part of that again. That should be a stumbling block. That should raise a ton of questions. That should say, well, I don't really know. Why is that? Let me ask all those questions. That's fine. Paul says that that's fine. Peter says that. If that's the stumbling block, if what Jesus did is a stumbling block, that's fine. But we should not be putting other stumbling blocks out there for people to see. And honestly, when we judge the actions of other Christians, that's what we're doing. So that's what it's not. And I'm not going to spend any more time talking about what the kingdom is not. We're going to talk about what the kingdom is. Verses 17 and 18 says, For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Which, I mean, is just, I think, the best thing that we could all aspire to, right? Is to be pleasing to God and receive human approval. Like, is there anything else that you guys want beside that? I don't know about you, but that's it. If I'm pleasing God and I have the approval of other people, like, that's 100%. I'm hitting 1,000. That's it. But that is what the kingdom of God is. And we can't, again, we can't let external things affect the eternal things. We can't let external things affect what we are doing, but we can't allow it to affect our righteousness, our peace, our joy, or allowing those things to take place. Those things are just simply byproducts of actually loving other people. That if you, there will be righteousness if you are loving other people. That's simply a byproduct. If you will be at peace with other people if you choose to love other people. If you choose to walk in love, if you choose to walk the way that he has asked us to walk, those things will happen and joy will happen. And so the first thing is simply righteousness. And righteousness, this will be part that some people just probably don't agree with me on, probably don't agree with the word of God on, but it's because the kingdom is completely upside down. But righteousness is a gift that we get from God, that we get from God. It is not a sum of all of our actions. Righteousness is not, I've done all the right things, and so therefore I am righteous. Righteousness is simply something that God gave us And like Pastor Donnie said earlier, if we are in a place where we just simply open up and receive, we will receive that righteousness. That's literally all that it takes. There is nothing else beside that. There's nothing else beside that. The Bible says it this way: for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. It's Romans 10:10. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. In chapter 5 of Romans, it says it this way. This is the NLT. For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. His gift, the thing that he gave us. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus, we're completely reborn. We are something completely new. And so because of that, the actions that we had before or the actions that we take after really don't affect that. Because it's a gift that God gave. It's not something that we earned. If it's something that we earned, first of all, what? We could lose it. If it's something that we earned, I think it's in Galatians, Paul says this, and I could sit up here and like quote the whole book to you. We could read the whole book of Galatians. He says, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Like, who has tricked you? You were brought in by what Jesus did for you. Now do you think that you're gonna be better because of the works that you do? I mean, that's one. That's just the beginning of Galatians 3, but you can look at it all throughout there, and he says, he says, if you could earn it, then you could lose it. And he says, if you have received it from God, then that's it. Righteousness is settled. It's just your right standing with God. It's not the sum of your actions. See, in the first, and we, I think, as Christians get confused because in the first covenant, what, you know, a lot of people call the Old Testament, we look at it and we see, well, our sins, you know, we have sins and then we have to cover them up with offerings. We have to cover them up with sacrifices. We have to do them. We have to do things in order to get rid of those sins. Psalm 32 says it this way. Blessed is the one whose transgressions or sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Right? So that's the way that it was in the old covenant. Sins were covered. Sins were, if I covered this piece of paper, like the piece of paper is still there. It's just covered. But if somebody's looking at it, they can't see that. When Jesus came, it was something completely different. He didn't just cover our sins. He blotted them out. They were taken as far as the east is from the west. They were completely taken away, and we were completely righteous because of that. We have a completely new covenant that makes us completely new. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read 17 and then 21. 17 says it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. Verse 21 says, God made him, being Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So our righteousness is completely, totally, 100% from him. And so because of that, that's it. It's completely settled. And so you are able to be able to rest in knowing I am right with God. No matter what you do, you are still right with God. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't go back on what he said simply because you took some actions. Again, that's offensive, and I don't mind admitting this to you. There are definitely times where I don't believe that for myself. There are times I don't believe that for myself that I'm like, really though? It's completely, I can, and what people jump to is I can just do whatever I want then, and my righteousness is still set because of what he did. It's completely upside down. It's completely countercultural because it's something that comes from God and it's something that God does. It's not something that we do. Righteousness is simply the byproduct of being a child of God. That's completely it. The best example I have to give you is that my fiance, her last name is Ramirez. In a few months, it will not be Ramirez. But guess what? She will still be the daughter of her father. That doesn't change, even though she's taken an action, even though she's going into a marriage, and even though literally her name is changing, her position as a daughter of her father does not change at all. And it's a decision that she makes willingly, hopefully. But it doesn't change at all. In the same way, just simply because we do something that we think steps us out of the light, and that's really, without going into it any further, that's simply what sin is. It steps out of the light. If these lights are here and I completely step over here, that's simply all that sin is. I've stepped out of the light. But again, I still am who I am. I haven't changed as a human being. I haven't changed in who I am, but I'm going to come over here and help the camera guys out and come back into the light. And when we repent, 1 John 1:9, if you've heard it, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins have already been forgiven. He is simply putting us back in the place where we were and in the place that he already set us. That's all. That's all. And so our responsibility is to confess those things so that we can be cleansed, so that we can be healed. Because whenever we do something that sets us outside of that, we have walked away from our position. That's all it is. But righteousness is simply a gift that God has given to us. And so we can't, thankfully, we can't lose it. The second thing that the kingdom of God is peace. The world right now, as it has been and as it will be, is troubled. But in the kingdom of God, we have peace that passes all of that. We have peace that passes all of that understanding. Jesus said this in John 14:26-27. He's promised this, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give you peace as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." We as people of God have to be at peace in ourselves, and in understanding our own righteousness comes from God, that gives us peace in ourselves. If we have peace in ourselves, we'll be able to extend peace to other people. We'll be able to give peace. We'll be able to live peaceably with other people, because peaceable people are not offendable people. I can't look at something that you're doing and be offended by it if I am already at peace, if I know my position with God is set. And here's the thing, that other Christian, you know that other Christian is set. If they're a believer, their righteousness is completely set. And so now if your place is you wanting to love them, you'll do those things, you'll love them, but your peace won't be shaken by that. Your peace won't be shaken by circumstances. Your peace won't be shaken by the things that are happening, whether they're happening to you, whether you've done them, whether other people are doing them. Your peace won't be shaken at all, because it's peace that comes from him. Has anybody in here known somebody that is like easily offended? Okay, like, yeah. Hands are going up. That person is not peaceable. That person is easily offendable, and I've been that person. So let's make that clear. So I'm not saying all those, you know, easily offendable people over there. I've been that person. I've been in that place. But it's because my peace was not set. My peace wasn't set. I wasn't saying, okay, whatever the issue was, my peace was not set with where God had me. I chose whatever to get out of that peace. I chose to not be in a place of receiving that righteousness. I chose not to be walking in the principles of the kingdom of God. But if we have peace, like I said, in ourselves, then we will extend that peace to other people. And that's what makes us as Christians completely different. That is what the light of the world is us. Jesus said that. He said, "You're the salt and you're the light of the world." If we don't have peace in the circumstances that we have, then how are we any different? How are we shining in times that need something that's shining? And if you don't know right now, again, there's people in South Texas right now that need something that's shining. Christians need it. Non-Christians need it. But if we're able to be in that place of peace and we're able to be at perfect rest because he keeps us in peace, then we will truly be the light of the world. The very last thing before I conclude is joy. That's it. righteousness, peace, and joy. And joy is an even more obvious light to the world. Because joy in the midst of circumstances, having peace is, okay, I'm okay, we got it together. You know, some rough things are happening, but we're holding it together. We're at peace. But joy is completely different. Joy is something that comes from inside but is expressed outside. And joy is the last thing. If you look at what he's saying too, righteousness is something that's given and is inside. Peace is something that starts inside and starts manifesting itself outside. Joy is even more so. Joy is something that starts inside, but there's no way to know if someone is joyful unless they're actually showing it. I've been in that position before where it's like, people have been like, are you excited about this? Yeah, I'm excited about it. Well, you should tell your face that you're excited about it. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. But if I'm not excited about it, then I have to look at myself and go, well, why am I not joyful in this? Where's my place that in... If I'm not joyful, then these other things are obviously not operating. I'm either not thinking that I'm in a place of righteousness or I'm not in a place of peace. It's one of those two things. Peace comes from knowing God, who he is, and that we're set. But joy is a choice. Joy is something that we have to choose to do. Joy is a choice, and it's fueled by thankfulness. It's fueled by being able to look at the things that we do have, the situations in our life that we are pleased with, that God has done for us, and choosing to have joy instead. Paul says that to the Philippians, and I wish there was a better way to do it. I wish there was a better 1-2-3 step of what joy is. But he simply says, rejoice in the Lord of always. He says to the Thessalonians, it's chapter 5, verse 18. He says, be joyful in all circumstances. He says like 8 times in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'm not getting tired of writing the same things to you. Like joy is a choice, and it's found by being able to express those things, and it's found by being in a place where we're receiving from the Holy Spirit, because that's what it says. It says the kingdom of God is not in food or drink or in meat or drink, but in righteousness, in peace, in joy, in the Holy Spirit. The last scripture that I have is Romans 15, 5-7. It says this, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. I'm just going to read it again. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. The same attitude. So the attitude comes out of a place of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit only speaks to what Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of his own accord. He speaks to what Jesus has said. And so the attitude that we have comes from the same attitude that Jesus had. So that with one mind, this is the body of Christ, with one mind and one voice, we would be able to glorify God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that, accept one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. When we accept each other, we're simply doing what Jesus did for us. Jesus came here. This is as simple as the gospel can be made. Jesus came when we had done nothing to deserve him. We had done nothing to deserve Jesus coming here to die for us. We had done completely the opposite. We had done everything we could do to push him away. And yet he still came. He still came here. He still lived the same life that you and I have to go through. And he lived it perfectly. He lived it without sin. And our response to him was, oh, we'll kill that guy. That was our response. We're all guilty of that. You weren't the one that was there. You didn't drive the nails in his hands. But the sins and the actions that you would take, that the people back then would take, that we're still going to take in the future when we slip up, were the reasons why he had to go to the cross. But the good news is that because he was completely sinless, because he was completely without fault, we now get his righteousness. He died so that you could be put in right standing with God, and so that we could actually be together as a family, so that we could be made right with God. And yet, how many of us, again, how many of us are having issues fighting with one another as other Christians and arguing and bickering about things that just simply don't matter? When he did this for us, when he gave every single thing that we need, every single thing that we would ever need, he gave us. Paul said it this way. He said, I don't make void the grace of God. Because if righteousness came through actions of Christ, if righteousness came through what I did, then Christ died for nothing. And so, whether it's you being judgmental and looking at a brother or a sister, looking at a fellow Christian, and you having to put yourself back, if that's where your heart is tonight, if you're looking at the actions of other people and you're finding out like, yeah, I think I'm a little bit more judgmental than I thought. The good news is that you're righteous. That even if you've been sinning, even if you've been doing things that are outside of that, God wants to put you back in the right place. And if you are the person who's doing something that someone else could look at, the beauty of the gospel is that he is willing to extend that to you. He's willing to extend that righteousness, extend that grace. He's already done it. It's just us putting ourselves in the place. Pastor Donnie, showed us exactly how it's done. You just open your heart and you accept. You accept what he has for you. That's all that you have to do. It's all that we have to do. And if you're not a Christian, if you're somebody in here who would say that that's not really me, if you're somebody that's watching, listening, it's simply opening yourself up and receiving what he's already done. There's not a formula. There's not do steps 1, 2, 3, and then you got it. It's simply receiving from him. And if you do that, he's always faithful to change. He's always faithful to fix those things. He wants to. He wants to, and we just have to receive. So, Heavenly Father, whatever the position of our hearts tonight, I pray that you, God, I pray that you make us more like you. I pray that we are able to walk in a kingdom that's not in rules or regulations, God, but is in righteousness that you give us, that's in peace that you give us, that's in joy that comes out of understanding that, God. Thank you for everything that you've done. We say thank you. And we choose to live in that kingdom. We choose to live in a kingdom that you've given us, that you've graced us, that you've blessed us with. And not something that we're trying to build, God, but it's something that you have already built and that you're building in us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.